dreams. Tell me what you know about night terrors. Nothing. You don't really care about the trials of tomorrow. Rather lay awake in a bed full of sorrow.
There we are. Okay, hi. Good evening. Welcome to the program. Big thanks to Black on Black on Black. With a massive, beautiful, and amazing live studio audience. They're going to be back next Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Good evening. Welcome to the show. My name is John Hill. Ah, wow. I love this energy. I came in, and just the fact that we can fit a good dozen people in the studio makes my heart happy. Come on down anytime. We're here. You guys can hang out with us. 3227 22nd Street here in the Mission District of San Francisco. Go until 10 o'clock tonight. My name is John Hill. Chip Kinman of the Dills and Rank and File is going to be on in the first hour with me tonight. He has a brand new self-titled LP out, and it's a really moving piece. It's really incredible. Man, it rocks out. It's really good. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. So he's going to be in the next 10 minutes or so. Lots of fun music to play. My guess is we'll have other people showing up in the studio tonight, because that's just kind of what happens on my show these days on a Monday night. I'm not complaining or anything. This is really great. So hit me up on the chatterbox, radiovalencia.fm, Radio Valencia app, and say hi, hang out with me. And in the meantime, we're going to bend all these other folks to do while we get the music rolling. Again, Chip Kinman coming in about, I don't know, 10 minutes. Radio Valencia.
George Wayne, the Cape of the Scientist, who was checking out tectonic plates of Siberia, and it was called The Sounds of Hell, I believe. I'd love for you to play that again, because, you know, I've heard about it, I've never heard it, okay? My pastor told me about it, but you know what? I'll tell you right now, what's in the earth and the sounds of hell, you hear the people in torment.
Well, you listen in. You listen in on the radio here, because you're going to hear it right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. Oh, did you get that? All right, here we go. One, two, three, go! One, two, three, go! One, two, three, go!
Time. Go, man, go. good time. We're all having such a good time. It's Frisco.
I can name that song in one note. That's right.
Radio Valencia. Some James Williamson. Sped up a little faster than I would have liked, but hot damn if it wasn't a little bit of technical difficulties on a Monday night. I'm going to blame the heat. John Hell is my name right here on Radio Valencia. Transmissions from the Mission. Some Mono Man in there off of their 7-inch from 1996. Kick Out the Jams or MC5 cover. Started off the music with some classic Popo Pies from a 7-inch. Paying tribute, maybe, I guess, to Dirk Dirksen. They're with one of my favorite songs that they do called In Frisco. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. I've got on the line all the way from Burbank, California, Chip Kinman. Good evening, Chip.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Hey, and who's in the background? Who's with you?
Savage. There we go.
Who's your friend?
That's Rollo, our rescue dog. He's on the hunt right now because the sun went down and the critters have come out.
Oh, man. And he's looking to have some new friends in the area.
He is. I hope he just doesn't meet up with the skunks. We have a brood in the neighborhood.
Oh, so. Christ! Good luck. Get the tomato juice ready. I'm happy that you join me. For our listeners out there, Chip's one of the original members of the Dills, of Rank and File. Lots of deep history in the punk scene, Bay Area punk scene. I know you played the Mabuhay back in the day. You and your brother, you and Tony.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you have a brand new album out, a self-titled release, out on In the Red. And this is, I think, your second solo effort, is that correct?
It is. The first one was The Great Confrontation, and the aptly named Great Confrontation. It's 2 hours of electronic noise.
Yeah, I was going to say, that one leaned a lot more into, like, almost krautrock territory, if I dare say.
Well, it did. I just thought that was something I hadn't done before, and I've always been a bit of a musical adventurist, so I thought, I think I could do this. And so I borrowed a really old Moog synthesizer from a friend of mine. It's before the Mini Moog came out, and oh, nice. I know it's pronounced Moog, but I grew up saying Moog.
Yeah, me too.
And just sat down and see what I could do with it. And I recorded a lot of stuff, and I sent it to In the Red Records and said, "Here, take what you want and put it out." And they said, "Oh, we're going to release all of it." And I was surprised, oh, geez, but thanks. They did. And, had a lot of fun with it.
And now the new one that you have, the self-titled one, it shifts gears into something much more reflective, soulful, autobiographical. What led you to decide that right now was the time to step up to the mic, look inward, make a record that's explicitly a statement of your own identity?
Yeah, well, I guess it's, you know, looking at the backside of my 60s and approaching 70, and it seemed like... It seemed like something I wanted to sing about. It seemed like something I wanted to write about. Yeah. And I didn't necessarily start off with that in mind, but once I wrote, like, the first song in that vein, Goodbye Rock and Roll was actually the first song I wrote in that vein, I just I said, I'm going to lean into this a bit. And it turned out to be something that spoke to me and really, really kind of spoke to what I wanted to do musically and lyrically. It moved me, and it seems to be moving some other people, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, and you have a show coming up this Friday night at the Bottom of the Hill, band.
Well, not this night. It's May 29th.
Sorry, a week from Friday. I apologize. Friday, a week from Friday. And, yeah, doors at 8,
yeah,
show
no
at
problem.
8:30. It's your band. Who's in your band?
It's myself, Giuliano Scarfo. He's my stepson. He's in the band. He plays with Kill Crocodiles and played with Kate Clover and all sorts of bands. He lives out in San Francisco, and he plays in a ton of bands. He's the one, like, in 7 bands, you know, at one time. I'm always just the one.
Why is he
band.
So
like
lazy? So lazy. What's up with that?
I know. But he's a fierce guitar player, and I love playing with him.
That's great.
And him and drummer S. Scott Aguero, he's a terrific drummer. He's a drum tech for Devo and just best drummer in L.A. right now.
Right on.
Brian Melendez on bass is my son's childhood friend. He's terrific, and he holds down the Tony duties when we do some rank and file songs, and he. he does them well. It's surprising. And Dan West on keyboards. He plays in Lovey Dove here in town, and he just released a big band album that he wrote and arranged, and it's kind of blowing my mind because I'm listening to it thinking, well, I'm not paying this guy enough. This guy's like a super genius or something. That's a great band. It's a terrific band.
That's great. Are you touring them? I mean, how many shows you guys have coming up?
Well, right now I just got three booked. It's been a little difficult because, you know, everyone's grown-ass men with families and jobs. And so it's been a little difficult to kind of corral them all in and start, you know, rehearsing and booking shows. But we've got plenty of rehearsals under our belt. We've done a couple shows. We've got three coming up, and I'm looking to play a whole bunch because I want to get out there and play some even newer stuff for the next record that I'm writing. So I want to play that live because I'm going to release an EP that's going to be all bangers. So
oh, right on.
I want to try them out in front of some people.
Oh,
know?
That's great. And you got Steakhouse is going to be support. There it says country electro post punk, and the Temple Beautiful Band is opening. What a treat to have them playing the show with you.
Yeah, Jeffrey Pond's band. That's going to be. And I've heard a lot of good things about Steakhouse. So I'm looking forward to seeing them.
That's awesome. That's coming up Friday, May 29th. That's a week from Friday. 21 and over. It is wheelchair accessible. It's $20. $25 in advance, I think. So maybe they'll give you a break at the door. Go on down Bottom of the Hill. And Bottom of the Hill, we love them so much, and they're closing at the end of the year. Though I did hear some rumor they may have found a buyer. So we'll hold off until we know more. Yeah, but
we'll see what happens. Last time I played there was a few years back. My son and Brian, who are in the band now, they approached me and asked me if I wanted to do a Dills show.
Oh, wow.
And I immediately said no, because that was something Tony and I never did. It was like go back and redo our old bands.
Yeah.
But then I thought, like, you know, for 45 years, I've been saying no. So then I said, yeah, let's do it. And we did a handful of shows, probably about seven. They were all sold out, and including Bottom of the Hill.
Wow.
And, it was so great because they really brought the punk rock energy. You know, they've been playing in their local punk rock band since they were like, you know, nine. And they really brought the punk rock energy. I brought the songs, and we had it was a great time.
Well, you know, folks are just tuning in. I'm talking to Chip Kinman, who's got his band playing at Bottom of the Hill on May 29th. But your history is really incredible. The Dills are an incredible band. You and your brother Tony formed in 1976. When did you move up to San Francisco? Was it in 76?
Well, that's when we first went up there, and we thought, because, you know, we were down in Carlsbad, and we thought, well, let's move. We wanted to get into a city and play in a city. And Los Angeles just seemed so difficult and so daunting. We could never really get anyone to return our phone calls or anything. And we thought, well, San Francisco's compact. Let's go up there. And we did. You know, we went up, and it really blew my mind. It was so exotic. You know, from a kid from Carlsbad, it was so exotic. The roasting coffee smells and pesto and North Beach and everything and just the bay, the water, the ships, everything. It really kind of I really fell in love with the city. It seemed like the place to be. And it's funny. It's when we first got up there, we really didn't know like where to start. And we were walking around the city, and we saw a poster for a band called The Nuns that was on a wall somewhere, just pasted on a wall. And they were playing at some place down at the marina. And we thought, well, that's a good name. Let's go see what they're all about. So we went down to their show at the marina. Well, apparently they got fired during sound check. and because this is very early, right? They got fired during sound check, but they put up a flyer saying, hey, if anybody wants to see us, we'll be at a rehearsal studio. So we flew down to South of Market to their rehearsal studio, and we were the only ones there. It was me and Tony. We were the only ones there, and we're standing in front of the Nuns watching them rehearse.
Yeah.
And that's how we met them. And we became good friends afterwards. You know,
I just had Edwin Heaven in the studio just a few weeks ago, who was the manager of the Nuns.
Oh, there you go.
And he actually he told that story of them getting fired from that gig. So
it was very, very... And what's funny is there's a poster for Crime rehearsed there, too. And there was a poster for Crime up on the wall. And we said, hey, who are those guys? And why do they dress like... And the Nuns are saying, oh, that's Crime. We hate those guys. We hate those guys. So we said we hate him too. You know, screw those guys. And I think we probably, you know, spit on the poster, ripped it down, that sort of thing. And then I saw Crime, and Crime is like became like my favorite band ever in the world. You know?
Yeah,
it's like I love that band so much.
Yeah, nothing like them, indeed. Hey, Chip, I'm curious about this because you and Tony have one of the most fascinating chameleonic histories in underground music. You go from the foundational first wave punk with the Dills straight into a pioneering cowpunk movement with Rank and File, and then into this like aggressive electro rock of Blackbird, western sounds of Cowboy Nation. Like, looking back, did each of these shifts feel like a radical reinvention at the time, or did it just feel like a natural logical evolution of what the scene music meant to you?
I think both at the same time. One thing we kind of we would get a little bit bored, you know, and kind of thought, well, we said everything we've got to say, you know, with whatever format we were playing in, and then we would look for something that would be just as radical as what we were doing before, and be radical to our current fans.
Yeah,
you know, like, okay, we're in the Dills, so I thought, well, and plus something we could play honestly. We thought, well, you know, what are we going to do? Well, let's. Yeah, I think we can do country music. We grew up listening to it. Our folks listened to it, and we can do that. And let's see what we can do with that. And we thought, you know, and plus this will really get up the punk's nose if we start playing country music. Because when we started playing it, it was a bad word. No one was looking for it. Wow. Absolutely no one.
Nothing more punk than telling punks we're going to play something other than punk.
Exactly. It took a while for people to catch on, but sure enough, they did. And same thing with Blackbird. After we had put, you know, our country records, we were thinking, okay, what are we going to do now? Oh, country fans, what'll get up their nose too? So, let's get a drum machine and be a two-piece and be like the loudest frickin' band in the world. And so we did that. Then after that, we thought, okay, time to pivot again. We did a 180 and did the cowboy band. And you know, that cowboy band was a lot of fun. We discovered there was a cowboy circuit, a cowboy music circuit, and we got signed to the biggest label, cowboy label, Western Jubilee, and we started playing that circuit, and it was fun and really bizarre because we'd be playing like these cowboy poetry festivals and stuff, and they were like Renaissance fairs. Everyone's dressed up and, you know, in like pioneer gear and stuff. And it was really kind of odd.
You know, it's funny. I'm thinking, you know, Alejandro Escovedo did the same thing, right? He went that same direction, doing kind of the cowboy sounds, and ended up making a career, you know, post Nuns out of that. Did you see him much on the circuit?
When he left the band, we were all in Texas. When he left the band, he left. Junior Brown joined our band.
The Git Steel Junior Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What was that like?
Well, we were looking for another guitar player.
Yeah.
And someone mentioned there's this guy, Junior Brown.
Oof, yeah.
And it was way before he was like Junior Brown. So I met him at a hamburger joint in Austin and went over to his place, and he played some guitar, and I immediately just went, well, you're in.
Yeah,
you're in. So he joined the band, and I'm really bummed we didn't do any recording with him, but we did do a tour of England with Elvis Costello with Junior Brown in the band, and that's actually got him his start because everyone over there saw him, people in Elvis Costello's band, of course, just, you know, kind of flipped out, as you would when you see Junior Brown.
I have to ask you though. I have to ask you, Chip. Is he semi crazy?
Yeah.
Is he a half past nuts?
100%.
Oh my God!
We could do a whole show, and I could tell Junior Brown's story.
I've seen him fire his drummer on stage. I've seen him threaten to fire the bass player, except it was his wife.
Oh, I could tell. Yes, I could tell you so many stories. I mean, one that's not too radical. He wanted to take his bed to England when we went to go pick him up, and he had his guitars and stuff. He also had his mattress.
Wow.
He wanted to take that. We said, Junior, you can take your bed to England. You can't do that.
I'll do what I want.
And but I'll tell you what, we kicked him out in England. We kicked him out of the band because. He was getting in trouble with Pete Thomas, Elvis Costello's drummer. Mm. And Costello came to us and said, you have to keep him away from his drum. So a couple more things happened, and so we sent Junior home. And it wasn't pretty. But I'll tell you what, to Junior's credit, I love Junior Brown. To his credit, Tony and I were doing a Blackbird show in San Francisco, and he was playing as well. He was doing a show somewhere across town. And it might have been a Slim's or something. It was, you know, sold out, big deal. And we went to the show, and before he played, we went backstage to say hello. He was as nice and as gracious as could be. And the whole show, every other song is going, this is for Chip and Tony, this is for Chip and Tony.
Oh, that's great.
I know. So I'm so happy for his success. I really love to see it. I really, really do. But yes, he's certifiable, and do I have stories.
So, did you ever play the 23 Club in Brisbane?
It doesn't sound familiar.
Okay, that's fair. I want to get to the new album, though. A reminder for the listeners, the Chip Kenman Band are playing at Bottom of the Hill on Friday, May 29th. It's an 8 o'clock doors, 8:30 show, 21 and over, wheelchair accessible. So on the new LP... you know, you wear the producer hat and you play like almost every instrument including, I guess, you're tracking drums for the first time. Is this correct?
Correct.
So what's that like stepping behind a drum kit?
It's very odd. I hadn't planned to do it. When I went into, I did the whole record at Busy Bee Studios, which is my studio, and it's not set up for drums. So I had a drum machine going, and when I went in to mix at Thancola Studios here in town, Jose Alcantar, who's kind of my right hand man for sound and mixing and all those things, he just looked at me and said, well, why don't you play drums on this? And I said, I've never drummed on a record. And he said, well, I got a drum kit set up right over there, get behind it and play drums. But I just did. And and it's funny because now the drummer in my band, in the current band, which I don't have a name for. I said, guys, pick a name. You know, I have veto power. Pick a name so I can call you something. And anyway, he's such a great drummer, and he was learning some of the stuff I did, which is total like kind of stuff a drummer wouldn't do. So he had to like unlearn some things and go, okay, I see what you're trying. I see what you're doing here. And you know, was able to do it. But it was kind of fun.
You got some, I'm going to play a song off this in a moment, but you've got, even though it's largely a solo record, you've got quite a number of amazing people on here. Alice Bagg, Mike Watt, Cliff Roman of the Weirdos, and Juanita and Juan. How much do we love them? So when you're assembling these tracks, how did you know which specific song needed like a touch of that classic West Coast punk lineage? How did that come out?
That's a good question. You just kind of know, and I knew there were a lot. I knew where I was going with a lot of songs, like the song Que Voy a Ser. Brian Melendez, who plays bass currently for me, he wrote the song, but I heard it a different way than he wrote it. I heard it more like kind of like, you know, Every Dream Home a Heartache by Roxy Music. Yeah, I heard that, which is really not how he wrote it. He had like all those diabolical Beatle chords in it, this kind of stuff. And I wanted to slow it down, and I just thought, well, it's in Spanish, I want to keep it in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, so who should I get? Clearly, Alice Bagg.
There you go. And she's amazing. I want to play Radio TV, I'm in Love. What can you tell us about this track?
I can tell you that's really one of my favorite songs. It's sung by this guy Steve Mahano, again, a friend of my son's, and I thought, you know, I just really need to get a millennial feel on this vocal, and it was classic. He came in, I had wrote out the lyrics, I sang it, and then I wrote out the lyrics for him, and he listened to me sing it, and then he looks at the lyrics that I wrote out, and then he just... he stepped away for a minute and came back, and he had them all on his phone. And he stood there looking at his phone, singing it. And I was going, oh, my God, it's so perfect.
The modern 21st century.
Yeah, I'll put away the music stand. He's just going to look at the phone and get the lyrics. And, yeah, I just really like the song. I like the I like the sound in that song.
All right, let's take a listen to it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yeah, Chip Kinman's brand new LP. It's a self-titled LP out on In the Red Records. We're going to hear the track Radio TV. I'm in love. Radio Valencia.
your camera?
Yeah.
You could, join your difference here in time. I heard class order. You see the fine house? So, fine radio. Oh, cool. They do the move to do fast forward. Radio.
All right, music right there from the Dills. Your classic hit, Class War on the phone with me, Chip Kinman of the Dills, and he's got a brand new solo effort out, self-titled, on In the Red, one of my favorite record labels over the last decade. And you've got a show coming up at Bottom of the Hill on Friday, May 29th. It's just going to be a ton of fun. And so, Chip, I am curious yes. about that. How did you hook up with In the Red?
It was when we were doing those Dills shows, and we played one at Save Music in Chinatown that Martin Wong puts on, and he's the father of Eloise Wong from Linda Linda's. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they were on the show. That picture where you see it's always on Facebook of Eloise singing. I think she's wearing a schoolgirl outfit or something. She probably just got back from school or got out of school. She's singing Class War with us. And anyway, he was at that show and he walked up to me and said, hey, I want to put out your record, and you can do anything you want.
Nice.
And so I did.
Hot damn.
I did, and came out with a great Confrontation, which is really interesting, because, man, that record has its fans. I mean, hardcore. There's people who want Great Confrontation Part 2.
Wow.
And going, well, we'll see. We'll get around to it.
What were you listening to leading up to the making of that record that influenced you?
I was listening to a lot of, clearly a lot of Kraftwerk and a lot of Eno, and I was listening to, maybe some people will find this odd, some people won't, but I listened to a lot of Metal Machine music.
Oh, okay.
I really like that record. You know, I know
it
I
helps
know
my plants grow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's got something going on, and I just can put it on and do things and stuff. I think it's a terrific record. So I was listening to a lot of that kind of stuff and just kind of diving deep into that. There, I found a record called It All Started Here, and it was like the history of electronic music. It has all that early George Martin stuff and all that English stuff. And in fact, I had contemplating calling my record It All Ends Here. But
oh, nice.
I didn't. I know. But I didn't.
You mentioned that when you were writing the record, you asked yourself who you were making it for, and you realized you wanted to make a record for people who took this exact same long, wild musical journey with you. And as a community radio station like Radio Valencia, our audience, I mean, it thrives on lifelong connection to music. So what do you hope people who have been following your evolution take away from hearing this specific collection of songs?
You mean the collection on the record?
The new one.
The new record?
The new record, yeah.
Yeah. I really, well, you touched on it, I really wrote it for people who had the same or a similar journey that I had. You know, the same people who discovered, like, listening to Horses by Patti Smith when you first heard the New York Dolls, or when you first heard the Ramones, when you first heard, like, you know, there's something new, there's some possibilities out there, and that excitement that gave you, and kind of a hope that it gave you, and made you think, you know what, I'm part of something, I'm part of this world, I'm part of America, I'm part of this movement, I'm part of art, I belong. And I really kind of want to express how that feeling made me feel, and hopefully other people. Yeah, I made it for people. I jokingly refer to as first older punk rock people for, or punk rock record for old people, but it kind of is, you know. No, I didn't make it for the kids, because I kind of didn't think the kids are going to get it, and that's okay. You know, that's okay. They got their own music, and it's all good. So, I made it for people like you.
Right on. And, yeah, and that's why I was thinking about my own journey through over almost 40 years of, like, non-commercial and community pirate radio in the Bay Area. And, like, yeah, it's this just long, circuitous journey of so many stops along the way when it comes to different types of music, that when I was listening to it, and it's interesting because that first song that I heard, Brian, right out the gate, I'm like, oh man, I am really hearing a Lou Reed influence. And I'm like, okay, is that going to be the record? And then all of a sudden, man, like three songs in, you were going in a completely different direction. I'm like, right on. This is, I love the how you pivot in so many ways. I was feeling it along the way.
Well, you know, it seems to have that effect on a lot of people. I got so many people wrote me and said that it, you know, the record made them, just not because it was sad, but it made them cry because they remembered.
Yeah.
They remembered what it felt like, you know. And one of the more touching emails I got was from this fellow in Europe. I've never met him or anything, but he wrote me and said, you know, I back in the day, I used to play guitar and did all this, and I listened to your record, and I started playing. I went and got my guitar and started playing again, because it just kind of revived his spirit. And you know, I didn't want to travel down a nostalgic road, but I did want to go and just grab some feeling from what it was like, and hopefully you know, it comes through.
So, you know, probably the most emotional anchor on the record is Me and Tony, that kicks off the B-side. And I just feel a really beautiful, you know, enduring tribute to your brother.
That was something. I had written the music. I knew what I wanted to say in the song. I brought in Dan West to play the keyboard. And I said, just play like Nicky Hopkins.
Oh yeah,
and he did it in one take.
Yeah.
Play like Nicky Hopkins all the way through it. And Dan, of course, is in my current band, and when I thought, well, let's see what I can do with the vocal, and of course, I knew I wanted to do kind of a, you know, Shrek song thing, the sing talk thing. I was going to do that.
Yeah,
and because I wanted to tell the story. I was actually kind of influenced by that. I don't know if you know it, but that Kanye West song, "The Wire," where he goes through his like journey of how he got to where he was. You know, before he became a Nazi and became like awful.
Yeah,
okay. It was a really interesting song. And I went up to the mic, hit record, and just did it.
Right on.
That's like that's like the first. That was the first time I did it, and I played it for a friend of mine afterwards, and I said, well, yeah, this is it. I'm going to go in and fix up, because I stumble over some words and do this, and I can probably make this a little more succinct. He just looked at me and said, you're crazy. Don't touch this. Do not touch it. Leave it alone. So it really tells the story, and boy, I've had to memorize all those lyrics now.
Well, can we hear it? Let's listen to it right now.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, right on. So this is going to be Me and Tony. That's about, obviously, Chip and his brother Tony Kinman, who passed in 2018. Mm-hmm. Two of you started the Dills, Rank and File, so many great bands. And again, you're playing with the Chip Kinman Band, headlining at Bottom of the Hill a week from Friday on the 29th, 21 and over, wheelchair accessible.
That's right, and we'll be playing this song.
Well, I would hope that you will. Let's do it right now. Me and Tony, Radio Valencia.
All right.
Yeah, the Dills right here on Radio Valencia, the classic I Hate the Rich. Just before that, some Chip Kinman off of his latest self-titled release out on In the Red Meat. And Tony, my name is John Hell. This is Hell's Kitchen Radio. Monday nights, deep in the heart of the Mission District, transmissions from the Mission. I've got Chip Kinman on the line with me. Hey, Chip, that classic, I Hate the Rich, I've probably played that song 1,000 times over the years. I think it was my theme song. I think it was my theme song for a little while. No lie.
It's a good record, I'll tell you. It was fun to make, and actually it was a little stressful to make. The Zeros, they had already recorded, I don't know if it was released, but they had already recorded Wimp or Don't Push Me Around, and said there was a studio down in Chula Vista if we wanted to go down there to record, because Chris Ashford from What Records said he'd put out a record. So it cost, my mom lent us the money. It cost us $59 to make that record.
Wow. Wow.
And the engineer was like a hippie, and he'd never heard anything like that before. And we played it once, and he just said, "Are you done?" And we're like, "No, no, we're going to do it again."
So, that's right. And again and again. It's better than Louie Louie.
Yeah, I think we did it like 4 times or something. And, and each time Peter Urban, our friend and manager, was going, be angry or sing it louder, do it, come on now, come on. It's like, okay, and I worked it up, and there it was.
That's it.
Cool.
You got a show coming up a week from Friday on the 29th at Bottom of the Hill. They're going to be a good show, 21 and over, wheelchair accessible. But I'm curious, before we wrap it up, just about your own history, you and Tony's history in San Francisco and playing. Now, which clubs for you were important back in the 70s and the 80s?
Well, in San Francisco, there are really three, in my eyes, places. One was, of course, Mabuhay Gardens, and glad to see it back. I hope they do well. The second was 330 Grove, and I believe that was the Gay Community Center, because that's where the scene broke out of Mabuhay. And the shows there expanded the whole scene in San Francisco. There's a good story behind how that all happened. And of course, the Temple Beautiful. It was just a terrific room to play in. Everybody loved going there. And people like going into the Fillmore. You know, the punks really like going to the Fillmore. And it was to me, those were the three best and most important places to play.
Did what role did the Deaf Club have for you guys?
You know, we really didn't play there that much, so it didn't have that big of a role. In fact, I'm not sure that the Dills ever played there. Oh, we might have, but I know we played there. We did combined bands, like Rank and File was a combined band before we were a country band. It was part Nuns and part Dills. And we did a band that was called, I have to explain all this. At Mabuhay, there was an Elvis impersonator, a Filipino Elvis impersonator called Alan as Elvis. That was the name of his show. We met this guy named Alan, who had nothing to do with that, and he was just like a punk, and we thought, let's do Alan as Elvis. And the Beatles, that's what we called it. We just do Beatles songs with this guy.
Beatles. I thought you said Beatles, like a Beatles do the Dills do the Beatles.
Well, it was Alan as Elvis and the Beatles.
Wow. Oh, the Beatles.
And this guy Alan, he couldn't sing. I mean, he had the most insane like rhythm sense, and it was really one of the most fantastic things that I've ever involved in. And we played the Deaf Club. It was awesome.
I love that. I think that's hilarious, and I love the history of that. We're going to wrap it up a bit, and I'm thinking about a couple of songs, but I was thinking about like So Young, kind of like this look back at the nocturnal prowls of the early L.A. scene, but Goodbye Rock and Roll, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you really want to have some fun, go to YouTube and watch the video for So Young. It's all, well, three, of course, singing the song, but it's all, pictures and video from back in the day.
Sweet.
It's really, really
cool. All right. So, yeah, really Chip Kinman. Go find it, everybody. But goodbye rock and roll, right? Yeah, but, diving into like those early summer flings. When you're writing these autobiographical songs about your youth, how are you balancing this out with like memories of your youth and, you know, pictures of nostalgia and memories or memories that are like, did that really happen or am I picturing that it did? How did that work? How did that work for you in the songwriting process?
It did really happen. And you have to just use your songwriting skills to tell the story without sounding like I was pedo raped or anything like that, because this is back in the mid-70s. It was before punk rock. I was, like the song says, I was between my junior and senior year, and so I was 16 or 17 or something like that, and the gal in the song, she was probably only 20, but to me she seemed like she was such an older woman. We just messed around. We actually didn't get it on or anything, but it was a big deal in my young life. It meant a lot to me. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible as you're learning about those things. And I really like the phrase goodbye rock and roll. I actually came up with the phrase as very punk rock, like see ya rock and roll. I really like the phrase. And then I kind of thought about that incident that happened. I said, okay, well, I'll just name her rock and roll, and that's going to be it, because she was out of my life after that evening. It was just one evening.
Well, Chip, this is a thoroughly enjoyable record. It's self-titled, Chip Kinman. It's out on In the Red Records, and you're playing again May 29th, Friday the 29th, over at Bottom of the Hill. Go and see the show. We're going to play So Long Rock and Roll. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
You bet, John. I loved every minute of it. Can't wait to get back to my town, my city.
Yes. Well, we look forward to seeing you. Let's hear it right now. So Long Rock and Roll, Chip Kinman, right here, Radio of Lansing.
Right on.